I'm Christopher Lydon. With a spoken word and my patron saint of bloggers, Ralph Waldo Emerson was the ringleader of the first American Renaissance in the 1850s. He was the intimate friend of Thoreau, Hawthorne, Melville, Whitman, the Alcotts, the Holmes, and the James families of writers. Emerson has been called the Sage of Concord, the American Plato, the father of American individualism, the American God. He would be celebrating his 200th birthday this summer, and I say he would be celebrating these blog pages and these bloggers sprouting up everywhere as a sort of fulfillment of his vision of an expressive democracy of outspoken individuals sharing a universal treasury of information in a global mind. Emerson was the poet of the shot heard round the world. He was the unorthodox Christian preacher of the infinitude of the private man. Fight conformity, he said. Forget consistency. Speak your convictions and your contradictions. Watch the gleam of light that flashes across your mind from within. Claim your own ideas before someone else does. Build your own world. This is, after all, the spirit of blogging. Trust yourself, Emerson said. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. Here's my point. When we talk about this internet and this blogging software, this techno magic that encourages each of us to be free voices in an open, universal network of across-the-board conversation, we're speaking of an essentially Emersonian device for an essentially Emersonian exercise, starting with the electronics. Invent a better mousetrap, as Emerson wrote, and the world will beat a path to your door. Well, here we are, in an MP3 on the World Wide Web. The cynical doctrine of American media is distilled in A.J. Liebling's famous line that freedom of the press belongs to every man who owns one, but now every blogger owns one, for next to nothing. In the booming energy of the blogosphere, we're glimpsing the fulfillment of Emerson's universalism and his confidence in cultural connectivity. This definitively American thinker was a globalist before there was such a thing. Before the human genome was coded, he grasped the unity of our polyglot and multicolored species. Emerson was anti-racist and anti-nationalist. He was a student of Persian poetry and Buddhism. He was an inspiration to Thomas Carlyle in 19th century England and to Nehru in 20th century India. Not because he was a multiculturalist, sampling bits of this and that, but because he thought the human mind and heart were capable of immense and innumerable expansions. In his essay, Circles, he wrote, "There is no outside, no enclosing wall, no circumference to us." And now with the web, we begin to understand more nearly what he meant. Ahead of the evolutionary and brain scientists, Emerson believed there was one universal mind and that we all have access to it. He anticipated, in that sense, the leveling effect of Google search engines. He encompasses the idea of distributed intelligence and the ideal of networked computers as a democracy of end users. This electronic liberation of information is giving a new kick to Emerson's theory and Emerson's hope. Emerson celebrated consciousness, the miracle of self-awareness in each and every one of us. I love this journal entry from the days when he was 23 years old. He wrote, "There is a pleasure in the thought that the particular tone of my mind at this moment may be new in the universe, that the emotions of this hour may be peculiar and unexampled in the whole eternity of moral being." Doesn't he sound like a blogger, you know, or the blogger that we all want to be? Emerson was himself a sort of group blogger in The Dial, a magazine that he founded with Margaret Fuller in 1840. It was to be a compendium of the good fanatics, he said, his favorite contemporary writers, on law, art, letters, religion, everything. He said the Dial must be one cheerful, rational voice amidst the din of mourners and polemics. When I first read that line in the mid-1990s, it was like a thunderclap in my ears. The din of mourners and polemics, 150 years after Emerson coined the phrase, was deafening in Bill Clinton's America. The mourners were mostly in the print press, mourning, for starters, the decline of their own medium. The polemicists, like Rush Limbaugh, were hammering away on the airwaves, but by then I had found in my own public radio talk show that cheerful, rational space for public conversation across an Emersonian range of gab. Emerson's couplet caught the spirit of it. He wrote, The music that can deepest reach and cure all ill is cordial speech. So the next trick will be to use audio capacity on the web to bring the added value of the human voice and integrate the mosaic tiles of all that blog wisdom in one authentic conversation. As we go, I want to embrace bloggers in general as essential Emersonians, radical Democrats and individualists, sick unto death of our imprisonment by mass media, mass emotion. We're thrown for a loss by the retribalization in our time by mass labeling, mass marketing, mass suspicion, mass following, sheepish mass everything. The modern Emersonian banks cheerfully nonetheless on the reawakening of individual conscience, individual ambition, individual possibility. The modern Emersonian celebrates also the internet technology that can sustain a free, democratic, global, instant conversation as intimate and as broad as the chatter of Emerson's venerable Saturday Club in Boston. The modern Emersonian is, in short, an ecstatic melancholic, an unquenchable optimist in a darkening world, aware that the big trick for grown-ups is to look unblinking at the torture and tyranny in the world, the pandemic disease and progressive brutalization of people and the planet, but also to know that that is not the whole story and that this is no time to give up. Happy birthday, Mr. Emerson, and more power to the bloggers. I'm Christopher Lydon.